Thank you, Jim. As we try this morning to read from and discuss these sacred writings that are given into our hands to use for a guide to ourselves. I guess the thing I want to emphasize to you also . How many times do you think, and we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ all the time, and we even refer to him as the Holy One of Israel, do we actually realize every time we say the name that we're talking about somebody that is holy and was holy and always was? Now, I know there's a great effort to prove that he did some of these other things, but it always falls short of the mark because it's not true. It was interesting to me that in the 17th chapter of St. John, where we're talking about the last recorded prayer that he made, it says eternal life was to know. And he's praying to his Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So we're going to talk about some of the things that happened to them and the people that they tried to work with so conscientiously and continuously, and are still doing so. And we, because of a personal decision that we have made, we've become part of that group. Did you realize that? That you are part of the group if you've made that decision to be baptized and dedicate your life to trying to serve God. It makes it so that now you're a child of Christ. Well, there's a lot of legends, and I won't talk about all those because there's not that much time. But I want to call your attention to the children of Israel. Well, back in Moses' day, they were given a law. And they were given a prophecy, and in that prophecy it said that there was going to be a special prophet that was going to be sent to their people down through time. And that special prophet was going to speak the words of God. And if you didn't listen to those words, you were going to be lost. There was no way for you to recover and be reconciled to God unless you listened to the words of that prophet. And finally, that if you didn't listen to those words, you'd be everlastingly in torment. I'll start out by reading, I guess, from 1 Nephi. Oh, in the third chapter, I'm going to start out at the first verse, because it's all kind of pertaining to the point that I'm trying to make. It says, now I, Nephi, proceed to give an account upon these plates of my proceedings in my reign and ministry. Wherefore, to proceed with mine account, I must speak somewhat of the things of my father and also my brethren. For behold, it came to pass that after my father had made an end of speaking the words of his dream, and the dream that he was talking about that he had had was one that he wanted very much to have, and to have the interpretation of all the things that were in it. And we will talk about more about that. And also exhorting them to all diligence, he spake unto them concerning the Jews, how that after that they should be destroyed, even that great city Jerusalem, that many were be carried away into captivity into Babylon, and that according to the own due time of the Lord they should return again, yea, even be brought back out of captivity. And after they should be brought back out of captivity, to possess again the land of their inheritance. Well, that was brought back. And all of them, apparently there were some records that were lost in the transfer and being carried away and coming back. And I guess the pattern that I'm drawing for you is when Moses was commanded of God to make some special garments for Aaron to wear. And in these garments there was to be a breastplate, and apparently they had pockets in them in a way, and there were two stones that were put in those breastplates. One was called Urim. The other one was called Thummim. And they were to be used for special work. And you say, well, that's fine. But that's how far back this began. And so the pattern of life that we follow and that God follows to show us that we use to discern the truth in the right way is set. And when Joseph Smith, for instance, was given the plates by the angel, he was given along with that a breastplate and a Urim and Thummim to use to read the record that he was given, because it was in a language that nobody understood. When the things of God come forth, there's a pattern that is set. And you know, as the people of that came over here, the people, the family of Lehi, they became separated a couple of times because they got driven out of their land first, and then they wanted to go back to that first land that they'd inhabited, and sometimes they'd get lost on the way. Well, in the process of doing that, there was one of the groups that came across a man that lived with them for 9 moons. And in the living with them, he told them of his people that had been there a long time before. And and they just got lost from God and became a kind of a lost people. I want to turn to before I do that, I'm going to turn to a book called The Book of Messiah in the 5th chapter, because Well, it's the same subject. And he brought 24 gold plates with him when he came back. But he couldn't read them. Well, he died, and the people there couldn't read them because it was in a language that they didn't understand either. And they were wanting to find out about these plates, to see who they were and what was all about. And Ammon was one of the ones that was there. And so they asked Ammon if he knew somebody that could do that. He said he couldn't do it, but he knew somebody that could. And the thing I want to read to you is the circumstances of what these interpreters were used. And they were very sacred in circumstances too, a pattern that God draws of things that he does. I'll begin reading at the 72nd verse of the 5th chapter of Messiah. And Ammon said unto him, I can assuredly tell thee, O king, of a man who can translate the record, for he hath wherewith he can look and translate all records that are of ancient date, and it is a gift from God. And the things are called interpreters, and no man can look in them, except he be commanded, lest he should look for that he ought, had not ought, and he should perish. And whosoever is commanded to look in them, the same is called a seer. And behold, the king of the people which is in the land of Zarahemla is the man that is commanded to do these things, and which hath this high gift from God. And the king saith that a seer is greater than a prophet. And Ammon saith that a seer is a revelator and a prophet also, and a gift which is greater can no man have, except he shall possess the power of God, which no man can. Yet a man can have great power given unto him from God. But a seer can know of things which have passed, and also of things which are to come. And by them shall all things be revealed, or rather, shall secret things be made manifest, and hidden things shall come to light, and things which are not known shall be made known by them. And also shall be made known by them which otherwise could not be known. Well, I guess the reason I bring this up with the transfer of the things that had happened to the children of Israel coming back out of captivity is that there was a group that had lost their records, and so they couldn't establish their identity. And there was a prophecy given concerning that, and that in the latter day that there would be a priest stand up with Urim and Thummim to identify them. It's just like when you profess to follow Jesus Christ, you take on you a certain pattern of life, and it begins to have an effect on everything that you do. And one of the things that we often turn to, I'll turn to it now, is the 5th chapter of Galatians. And it's called the fruit of the Spirit. And I would tell you that somebody that really lives right and tries to keep the commandments of God, when you're around him, there is, if you would really stop and notice it, there's an aura that forms itself around him. A feeling that you get when you come near him. And this person probably would not call himself holy, but at the same time, I'm going to say God's Spirit is there, because it has different things over the way he behaves, and they contain these things that we call the fruit of the Spirit. In the fifth chapter of Galatians, verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." These are things of the way this person, it looks like it's his personality. He's just this kind of a person. And that's true, he is. But he wouldn't be that way if he followed the world. And the world is more going away from God now. And that's why even in their demonstrations and in all the things they do, they're aggressive and hostile. They don't quite know how to go about things in a peaceable way. I'll give you another testimony about this, and it's written in Moroni in the first of the seventh chapter. And it was put in here by Moroni, but it was a letter from his father, Mormon. And I'm going to read you what Mormon says. I'm going to begin verse 2 of chapter 7 on page 763. "Now I, Mormon, speaking to you, my beloved brethren, and it is by the grace of God and the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ and his holy will, because of the gift of his calling unto me, that I am permitted to speak unto you at this time. Wherefore I would speak unto you that are of the church, that are the peaceable followers of Christ, and that have obtained a sufficient hope by which ye can enter into the rest of the Lord from this time henceforth, and ye shall until ye shall rest with him in heaven. Now, my brethren, I judge these things of you because of your peaceable walk with the children of men. For I remember the word of God, which saith, by their works ye shall know them. For if their works be good, then they are good also." It's a simple thing. And we all need to recognize this just almost automatically happens. Or we think it does. And yet it doesn't. So I want to read you some of the things from St. John. Starting out with the first verse. And I'm going to kind of skip around here, but there's a couple of things I want to bring to your attention. First verse is, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Now, why would we just word it that way? It has a peculiar word. It's not the way we are normally in our society nowadays used to hearing it being said. But the life of this person was the light to men, because it was a demonstration of how you needed to live. And so I'll call it an example. The Lord Himself calls it that. These are things we need to look for in ourselves and in each other and help each other with it. This is a thing of, we all are walking in a way hand in hand, trying to become a people that God can bless and guide in the way that we stand in need, because we really do need. And it says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Those who wouldn't follow the Lord, they just wouldn't do what He asked them to do. And so they didn't really see what His light was and the meaning of it. In the 8th chapter of St. John is an example of the way things are worded. I won't read the whole thing, but I will read this part. I'll start reading that Jesus is having a discussion with the people, and I'll start at verse 20 in this 8th chapter of St. John. It says, these words spake Jesus in the treasury as He taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on Him, for His hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. And people, they read that and they realize that he's saying something that's special, but they don't quite follow Him. The fact that if they die in their sins, they can't be where Jesus is, because He's not going there. Then said the Jews, will He kill Himself, because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. And He said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said, therefore, unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. He's talking about, if you don't believe what I say, if you don't believe in Me, you're going to die in your sins. And then said they unto Him, who art thou? And Jesus saith, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but He that sent Me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of Him. They understood not that He spake unto them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of Myself, but as My Father hath taught Me, I speak these things. And He that sent Me is with Me. The Father hath not left Me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. Now I'll stop there, and I want to go back to the last part of chapter 3 in St. John. To make my point, and I'm going to read it probably from verse 22 of chapter 3 to the end of the chapter. After these things came Jesus his disciples unto the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come unto him. And John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore. This, rather, my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to the seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things unto his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So see, even John knew this about Christ. He knew that it wasn't just an idle respect or a casual respect that we should have for him. And in so doing, we kind of lose our grip on the things that we're trying to hang on to. I'll go back to the third chapter of 1 Nephi now. And start at verse 4. Yea, even 600 years from the time of my father left Jerusalem, a prophet would the Lord raise up among the Jews, yea, even a Messiah, or in other words, a Savior of the world. He also spake concerning the prophets how great a number had testified to these things concerning this Messiah of which he had spoken, or this Redeemer of the world. Wherefore all mankind were in a lost and in a fallen state, and ever would be, save They should rely on this Redeemer. And he spake also concerning a prophet which should come before the Messiah to prepare the way of the Lord. Yea, even he should go forth and cry in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. For there standeth one among you whom ye know not, and he is mightier than I, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. And much spake my father concerning this thing. So see, they knew back in Lehi's day how important it was. And if you didn't listen to this prophet, if you didn't realize he was honestly the Messiah, the Holy One of Israel, that if you didn't realize that, you were losing yourself among men. And you know, probably most of you, like I, have had people say, well, you know, you say you belong to the Church of Christ. How can you say that out of all of the churches that are around, that this single church is the Church of Christ? Well, brothers and sisters, I guess the only answer I have for that is I didn't say it. I'm only repeating it. The Church of Christ came into being because God willed it so. And it was a restoration of the church that the Savior of man put all together when he walked this earth 2,000 years ago. And as he did, he put this together, and we're trying to hold it together the way he wanted us. That's why we have to consider him our guide, our mentor, our leader. The thing that's hard for people to realize is what this says right here. Wherefore, all mankind were in a lost and in a fallen state, and ever would be, save they should rely on this Redeemer. We need to be sure. And that's why here in the 8th chapter of St. John, as it goes on, it says that Jesus did always those things that pleased God. As he spake these words, many believed on him. And this is the 30th verse I read. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Maybe I'm oversimplifying in going over this again to show you that if you are doing the things that his word has asked you to do, and that's what he's saying when he says, if you continue in my word, if you continue doing the things I've asked you to do, being the kind of person I ask you to be, keeping my commandments, then are you my disciples indeed. For the deeds that you do, the works that you produce to demonstrate how you behave and feel and believe, that makes you his disciple in deeds. You do the deeds of what his disciples would do. And then it goes on and says, then Jesus said to those Jews that believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When you do something wrong, most of the time you have feelings of remorse, and this sorrow that doesn't let go until you try to do something to fix it. That's the way we are, I'm sure. Well, this is what he's talking about here. You're continuing in his word, and that makes you free of guilt. It makes you so you have peace of mind and feel like you can care for each other, because you really do. And that's what, to me, came out those years ago when a lady came to me and sat me down and said, "We want you to come to church." I said, "Well, they don't want me there." She says, "Yes, we do. We sometimes don't take the time to let you know, but we really want you. Please come." And somewhere or another, the way she said this got through to a stubborn heart. Still gets me when I realize, I remember how I felt. Somebody cared. They really cared. So can you see now why it was that Jesus in the, I think it's in the 13th chapter of St. John, along about verse 35, it says, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one to another." These are things that settles in on the hearts of men, I hope. I hope that I'm not overemphasizing this, and yet I don't see any way that I can overemphasize it. It's that important. It's the same as if you wanted to have life and happiness and you try another way and it never works. That's what happens here. We have to remember that Jesus gave the pattern, and he wants us to follow that. All the things that God does, he has outlined to us a pattern of how he wants us to live. And when the Jews, people thought, well, he was really hard on the Jews. Well, how hard would you be if somebody you had asked to do certain things, and then I sent a son to you, or you sent a son to me, we hanged him on a cross? Not only would we not believe him, we got so tired of hearing what he was saying, we had to kill him. And so God has taken the Jews out of their homeland, and one of these days they'll go back. But they go back and have that for the land of their inheritance when they accept as a people this Jesus Christ, this Redeemer, to rely upon this Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to refer just a little bit to that message that Lehi was given in this thing. In the process of this message, it tells about There was a rod of iron that ran along beside a straight and narrow path. And as the people caught hold of the end of the rod of iron and tried to go up this straight and narrow path, there was a mist of darkness, a bad mist of darkness that came along. And they couldn't see their way through. And we always say, well, I want God to show me so I know where I'm going. Well, as I read this to you, I want you to realize, I'm going to read a little more so you really have the context of the thing. On page 21 in the Book of Mormon, I'm going to start here at verse 61. And it talks about the different ones that were coming and doing this, and says, and it came to pass that I saw them, but they would not come unto me and partake of the fruit. And he was talking about his two sons, Laman and Lemuel. And I beheld a rod of iron, and it extended along a bank of the river and led to the tree by which I stood. And I also beheld a straight and narrow path, which came along by the rod of iron, even to the tree by which I stood. And it also led by the head of the fountain unto a large and spacious field, as if it had been a world. And I saw numberless concourses of people, many of whom were pressing forward that they might obtain the path which led into the tree by which I stood. And it came to pass that they did come forth and commence in the path which led to the tree. And it came to pass that there arose a mist of darkness, yea, even an exceeding great mist of darkness, insomuch that they which had commenced in the path did lose their way, that they wandered off and were lost. And it came to pass that I beheld others pressing forward, and they came forth and caught a hold of the end of the rod of iron, and they did press forward through the mist of darkness, clinging to the rod of iron, even until they did come forth and partake of the fruit of the tree. Now, I would like to point out this. Nowhere does it say they saw the end of their goal, except they cling to the rod of iron, which was the word of God. They didn't see through the darkness. They only followed the rod of iron through that mist. And then, and after they had partaken of the tree, now go ahead and read the rest of this, because I want you to say, realize there's not any time, as long as you're in this life, that the devil will cease to try to molest you, to lead you astray. And that's why I'm reading the rest of this. And after they had partaken of the fruit of the tree, they did cast their eyes about as if they were ashamed. And I also cast my eyes round about and beheld on the other side of the river of water a great and spacious building, and it stood as it were in the air, high above the earth. And it was filled with people, both old and young, both male and female. And their manner of dress was exceeding fine. And they were in an attitude of mocking and pointing their fingers toward those which had come at and were partaking of the fruit. And after they had tasted of the fruit, they were ashamed because of those that were scoffing at them, and they fell away into forbidden paths and were lost. So the temptation and the ridicule does not cease. It doesn't go away. It only means that when God has let you go through and partake of His love, that this feeds your strength of faith and understanding and desire to follow Him. And when you do that, you have to realize others will not. And the ones who will not won't slack up with their mocking at all. But you can't be ashamed of what you do because it's following the truth of the message of Jesus Christ. And I guess what I have to say to you, there's another prophecy in here, I won't take the time to read it, that says that one of the big stumbling blocks in our land, us right here, is the fact of the many churches that were built up upon the land. And those many churches create a mist of darkness. They lend their strength to that mist. And that's why it is so important for when we read this to you, go home and read it again so it's in your mind. So that when something comes up, you see the print on the page. You remember the words. You know it's not just something you were told. You know it was written. And I'm going to say these records that we have that gives this understanding to us are sacred to us. They're that precious. Let's call them sacred. And there were some, apparently, and I read just a few verses from the 12th chapter, rather, of 2 Nephi. To let you know that it must be back in the days of Nephi as he writes this. Maybe that's not the right place. It has to be the 13th chapter. And he's talking about baptism here. And I'll start at verse 7. And it says on page 161, "And now if the Lamb of God, he being holy, does have need to be baptized by water to fulfill all righteousness, how much more need have we, being unholy, to be baptized, yea, even by water? Now I would ask you, my beloved brethren, wherein the Lamb of God did fulfill all righteousness, being baptized by water, know ye not that he was holy?" He didn't need to have the washing away that this signifies, that we place a great deal of importance, and it is important. But to follow the commands of his Father to fulfill all righteousness, he had to do this too, to set an example for us. But he was holy, without spot. That's why they call him the Lamb. He was without spot or blemish of any kind. Can you imagine, if you want to read about this, go to the 5th chapter of Revelations. Of all the angels and all the creation of God that was there, they had a book, and nobody could read it, nobody could hold it, except this stem that grew out of the, that came out of the stem of Jesse, the Lamb of God. He's the only one that was worthy. He was that holy. So we look to him because we know he would never lie to us. We know he's going to always tell us what's true. I pray that if the one thing I do is to show you in a convincing way that this Jesus Christ and all the things that he said are true, that it will lend you the strength and the guidance and the determination to connect your life with His. May God bless you, everyone. Pray for me, and I'll pray for you.